This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
We are back! Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, TGI, BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. And man, Johnny, Jess,
what a week.
Great to see you guys. We have had some time off, you know. And Johnny saying a little with the Democratic National Convention, civic media. Whoa, talk about incredible, amazing coverage for that week. And say, you know, people are like, where was Busted Pencils? Hey, you know what? Civic Media made that commitment to covering the DNC. And so that's where we were this week. But I mean, incredible, incredible coverage. And as Johnny pointed out, though, you know, really made for some late nights this week, typically a lot later staying up than I normally do.
East Coast time. I mean, over here on the West Coast time that I'm on, you know, Pacific time zone that I'm in, I'm so spoiled usually. Sporting events, Monday night football's done at an appropriate bedtime. For most of my teaching career, that's not how Mondays and Tuesdays went for work. But, you know, I'm spoiled here with the three-hour delay, right, that I kind of – the stuff happens on the West Coast before it happens here. It's earlier. So, I mean – I was up extraordinarily late every night this week, so I'm a little tired. First week back in the classroom. Hey, Sherry said, good evening, Sherry. We missed you this week, but probably know that you were tuned in and following the Democratic National Convention, because we were as well. So lots to catch up on. But, Tim, it's Friday, TGIBPF.
There you go.
Love that. Love it. Nailed it. Right? But, I mean, I'm tired. Thoughtful week.
Well, wait a minute, though. Let's talk about East Coast time versus, though. I mean, I've had the last three nights up way beyond midnight, man. I know, you know, because
just saying, I mean, if you know, if we're gonna start doing this comparison, this contest here, but I'm not sure that you had those long teaching days this week. Maybe you had some long days.
Oh, well, okay. If we're gonna go there now too, we're gonna add to that. No,
I mean, I had to trans. It's an abrupt shift from summer schedule to like fall. Now we're teaching all day. Yeah, it's like, where's my sleeping time? It's gone.
Well, if you appreciate sleeping time, though, yeah, it's Busted Pencils. Hey, you know what? But not on this Friday night. No sleeping tonight during the show. It's fully leaded education talk. Putting out the number 2-855-752-4842. Hey, any thoughts out there about the DNC? We are open to hear them out there. Whatever you want to call and talk
catch
about.
What did
you think? What was the most awesome moment of the DNC this week? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. What was the worst moment? Were there any moments where you went, I'm not sure they should have done?
I definitely have a top
production moments.
Yeah, there was. I mean, the fact that, and I'll be honest, I mean, I'm a junkie for some pop culture, yeah. Right? And so, I mean, there was a lot of really exciting energy and tangent stories to the DNC this week. But I was one of those people who fell for the special guest. So that's my I was like, oh my God, who is it going to be? Oh my God. And I was like, I actually got to go to bed. I know I can watch these recordings tomorrow when I get up real early and I put them in my, on my drive to work. I can listen to them. I was like, I'll get the content. But I was like, but I'm going to miss the special guest. I was good with that. So I fell for it. You know, not really sure who the special guest was.
Were you still thinking and imagining that, you know, maybe after Kamala is when it's going to happen? I know a couple people go, they're like, wait, it's really over. No one showed up. I don't know.
I was 100% pulling for it to be like Beyonce or Taylor Swift or something mega pop. Like, just like, it's over. Like lay it down. We now have like
other night went so long. And then last night they're like, no, on time. We're done. Go home. Yeah. Go sleep.
Well, and you know what? So speculation on that today. I don't know if you guys heard this, but it was, you know, out there, conspiracy theory. Was this all drummed up to get people to pay attention and stay connected to their TV longer? Well, if so, maybe it worked. I don't know maybe that we'll ever figure. Maybe it worked. I tell you what, though, Little John, though, I was excited about Little John. To me, that I love him coming in with that, you know, and the comparisons that I don't know if you guys saw the Daily Show comparison of the reading of the votes counted between the Republican Party and it was like in Maine we've had 220 votes for Mr. Trump. And they cut to the DNC. Little John coming down the steps.
And it's it was a full party. They had, I mean, all of the songs. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was. So it was exciting. So lots of catch up on. So our recap of the week, usually on, you know, Busted Pencils Friday, we're recapping the week of exciting guests. So we'll be talking DNC. We also, Tim, you can't forget my favorite thing about Fridays. I got a lot of favorite thing about Fridays. You know, end of the week. It's almost the weekend. Football's just around the corner. I'm a big hockey guy, big hockey fan, but I also love my fall football. So we'll get to that because fall football's also, for the first time in a lot of years, part of the election lead up and talk. Sure, and it's also Tim's trivia.
Oh, Tim's trivia.
Man, I wake up on Fridays and I'm like, Tim's trivia is coming up tonight. I can't wait.
Wow, I appreciate
it. It's like a new form of dad jokes for me. It's like Tim's trivia is the most frustrating but exciting thing of my Friday because I'm always like, wait, that's not trivia. That's what is this?
Of Oppenheimer was lost in Georgia. Hey.
Well, I'm tell you what, we're going to make it a little bit more of a shift too, because I heard, you know, especially when Luke was stepping in last
time. Luke was like, nah.
He's like, nah, man. He's like, dude, that doesn't work. So look, hey, the question though this week, very much in line with the DNC fact. You know what?
Okay.
Put it out there right now, right? You know,
so named Tim's trivia. That's not Pennsylvania.
Yeah, a little. Nope. Just a connection here. So we saw historic, and again, not the first woman to accept a nomination to become president. Okay, because actually that was already done. But who was the first woman to run for president of the United States? And in what year was it when this woman ran for president? When was the first? Yeah, this is the most straightforward.
Yeah, correct. We need Tim to stay up late watching Democratic, you know, speeches every week. That was great. First woman to run for president in the United States in the year.
Give me a call once you know it. 855-752-4842.
This is an exciting one.
This is, you know, because it fits perfectly here. And so much going on. Johnny, you talked about, but you also talked about Friday Night Football, as you're saying it's coming up here in the fall. And you say, like, yeah, with Coach Walls.
Fall weekends,
I tell you what, though.
Fall stuff starts Thursday and it ends Tuesday morning when I'm listening to the recap of all the injuries and all the things that happened.
I'm more looking at this, and I got really pumped up during the DNC because, again, of Coach Walls and talking about, and I saw another article coming out of Texas this week that really laid out the fact of saying that Friday Night Football and Walls being the vice presidential candidate, there could be a real connection to pointing out that the voucher people in Texas who are really targeting rural Texas, where Friday Night Lights truly has its origin, Friday Night Football. Is this
great show, by the way?
You know, but to really come at this and say, look, we have the opportunity here now to really talk about the significance of Friday Night Football in public schools and what's at stake here. That's what we do here on Busted Pencils. We advocate for public education, democracy. And on this one, coming into the fall, Friday Night Football, always talking about the other thing I loved about the DNC, man, Tim Walz dropping a lot of references towards my neighbor.
Yeah.
And football, your neighbor teaching. I mean, there's a lot we got in common with this guy. So it's no surprise to our listeners why we would love Tim Walz. And actually, we're both just ecstatic. And I know Jess is too, for the Kamala Harris, Tim Walz ticket, the energy coming from the Democratic Party. You know, it's a different tone. It's of joy. It's of change. It's of getting things done and having a record of getting things done, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk day in and day out. So we're pumped. It's Friday. We're chopping it up. Don't forget, listener, this is Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. And you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. Text or call in if you want to talk. Or if you know the answer to Tim's trivia, who was the first woman to run for president in the United States in what year?
What year? Right?
What was the year? So we're waiting for those calls or texts in. But, ooh, Tim, man, what a Friday. Already.
What a Friday. It's exciting to come. I say, you know, what a week. I'm looking at this, and I don't know between you two, Jess and Johnny, but I'm feeling like the more I've been paying attention to this race, and again, when I say paying attention, I'm also paying attention to that other guy, you know, the TFG. Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you what, I think he's out of it. I think he's done. I think he's in this position.
Oh, you can't
where,
say that in
I don't know. I'm feeling like a blowout's coming. That's what
do
I'm
you
saying.
Have a television? Do you have a television?
I have a television, dude.
Tune, but I'm tuned into the other reality member. We had a a great extended podcast with one of our favorite guests. You know, we'll get you snippets of it and we'll have a link to it and more information. But Jonathan Gerko and Tim and I sat down this week for a couple of hours, talked politics, talked school, you know, charter school movements, and talked also higher education, quality teaching. But Tim, like, to continue our conversation from things with Jonathan, right? I mean, like, I called it an alternate reality, you know, and then we start talking about the other worlds of misinformation and facts and swarms. I'm just saying, Tim, turn your TV on and tune to a different channel.
Dude,
and
I'm telling you what.
Who exactly is not out of it?
I'm a regular on that stuff. And in fact, I started doing that in the early 90s when I was commuting back to get my master's and doctorate degree. I listened to all of conservative talk radio. I don't know. I'm just saying that guy is just got something kind of, he's a little bit uptight. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully led.
He's been rattled.
Education talk. It's educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. First woman to be president of the United States in what year? Give us a call. There it is. Busted Pencils Friday, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. TGIBBF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Remembering talking about the DNC. What was your favorite moment of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago? You can call us 855-752-4842. Love to hear from you, Johnny, Jess, Tim. We all have our own moments. Johnny?
We sure do. And we had a theme from last week, 20 lessons from the 20th century from Timothy Snyder on tyranny, right? Mm-hmm. And we are really learning a lot. Like, that's been such an influential short book, pamphlet, document, writing, lesson from Timothy Snyder. You know, about lessons we can learn from threats to democracy, really, when he's talking about the rise in the frequency with which in the beginning of this century, we're seeing fascist governments and, you know, a loss of democracy, which you'd think, democracy around the world should be on the increase. And so, you know, these are lessons so that history doesn't repeat itself and so that we learn Timothy Snyder shares these 20 lessons from the 20th century, and each week we highlight one. Well, and we announce it on Friday. So last Friday, we were talking about 20 lessons from the 20th century to be investigate, because civic media was going on the ground to the DNC live. We are saying, folks, there's a big buzz. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of excitement. And you know what's really cool about that is that that's an invitation to figure things out, to be present for information, to spend more time with long articles, you know, subsidized journalism, read, subscribe, listen, talk to your neighbors. Tim loves that. Like, and even Tim Wells talked about talking to your neighbors, but then chop it up and talk about it with your friends. And that's what we do here on Busted Pencils. Tim, Jess, you know, we're investigating. Investigating together all week. We were listening and investigating. Our listeners were. So let's chop it up. Let's talk about some of our moments, some of those highlights from the week.
Okay, well, we start then. You know, quick first favorite moment that you can identify. And I'm going to point and throw the ball to Jess.
Sure. Okay. Oh, boy. I really loved some of the things that Barack Obama had to say about democracy and about what it means to sort of live in this experimental for our world type of government, that we are, this is the biggest and most diverse democracy that has ever been attempted. And that in order for that to work, we need to be able to listen to each other. And there was just this clip that was so beautiful. I'd like to play it.
Yeah, and just do it.
Get your reactions to this one.
We live in a time of such confusion and rancor, with a culture that puts a premium on things that don't last. Money, fame, status, likes. We chase the approval of strangers on our phones. We build all manner of walls and fences around ourselves, and then we wonder why we feel so alone. We don't trust each other as much because we don't take the time to know each other. And in that space between us, politicians and algorithms teach us to caricature each other and troll each other and fear each other.
Yeah.
Facts. What do the kids say? Facts.
All right, Johnny, your favorite.
First reactions, Tim. I mean, this week it was like for some of us, I mean, it was a walk down, you know, Democratic leader speaking to us. I'm going to admit I missed hearing Bill Clinton speak. I loved his talk. I absolutely didn't. I mean, I knew because I've seen him on talk shows and I've always liked listening. And back when he had podcasts and everything, I loved Obama's podcast and his rise to presidency. Just loved hearing his voice. So hearing these speeches this week were nostalgic, they were energizing, but they were lessons, like Jess is saying, and that was a big one. And I mean, thanks for replaying it, because that even just hearing it was that same nostalgia and that excitement I felt when I watched it this week.
I got truly, and I said this, favorite moment was the reading of the vote counts, that whole episode with the music. Little John. I mean, it was a favorite. I just loved that. But I guess it won't be of any surprise, though. My absolute high point of this was Tim Walz's acceptance speech. It was just, for me, man, you know, and people are gonna say it's like, Tim, you like Tim because of the Tim. I'm like, no. I like him because, you know what? Yeah, I think he truly has an real opportunity to put forward a totally different vision of public education that Democrats might have the ability to get their soul back on this one if they can follow Walz's lead on this, because the Democrats have sold their soul on public education for the last 40 years. And this is an opportunity. I'm not saying they will. So, but I feel it there, Johnny. I see the doubt. I see your doubt.
I mean, I'm just like, okay, let's wait and see. But that shouldn't detract, like, these, like, getting into the weeds on whether or not educational issues are going to be a major platform for this election. We'll get into talking about that. But really, I can't I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine a world where, again, we're going to contrast tickets, where there's any consideration for anything other than Harris Waltz on this. There's no comparison, especially when we talk about education. You know, there's one full side that wants it, the other full side that wants to see it done away with.
Right.
And it's rarely in an election that you'll hear me talk about an either or, but in this, it really is that. And so, you know, I'm not surprised that your favorite moment was that you're talking about. I'll share mine. I don't know if we have clips from it, but it absolutely. I mean, I loved so many of the speeches, but the Michelle Obama talk got to be up there on tops. I mean, especially then you see a lot of comparison and everyone cued in. There was an electric moment.
Yeah.
You know, when her facial expression spoke louder than her words. Right. And so, you know, what I'm referring to, Jess probably remembers that moment too. It's like decades like back, we heard about, you know, we go high when they go low, we go high. And then we revisited that slightly with a perfectly timed and placed side eye. And I was like, oh, this couldn't be better. I was like, I'm glad I stayed up and watched it versus listened to it on my morning commute. So that was one of my top moments.
Her side eye and then Obama's. And for anybody watching on the stream right now, Obama's comment to the size. The size thing going on there. What size was he referring to? Oh, you know, all that stuff. Hey, just before, though, coming up, you know, nobody's called in for the trivia. Who was the first woman to run, Johnny, for president of the United States? And in what year? First woman to run for president of the United States. And in what year? It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. It's TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. 855-752-4842. We're going to be waiting for you. The Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education, TGIBPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. Tim's trivia, I'm going to read it one more time, but we got a caller on the line with a potential question. Who was the first woman to run for president of the United States, and in what year? Jess, you say we got Mary from Wauwatosa. Mary? Maybe you're up. Who was it, and what was the year?
Good evening, and thanks for taking my call. Might that have been Victoria Woodhull in 1872?
Ding, 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 ding. We need a prize.
Oh, slam dunk.
I need to get that.
Oh, my God, Mary. So, yeah, Victoria Woodhull, a name that is often forgotten in history, was a woman ahead of her time. In 1872, she became the first woman to run for president of the United States, and she represented the Equal Rights Party. She was a radical activist advocating for women's suffrage, labor reforms, and even, free love, a concept that shocked the Victorian sensibilities of the time. Her campaign was more of a symbolic gesture, as women couldn't even vote yet, but it paved the way for future generations of women in politics. Woodhull's audacity to run for the highest office was a bold statement in that male-dominated world. Mary, oh my. This was just, you know, just information you have at the tip of your tongue?
No, actually, my source is a co-pilot. I've been playing around with AI, so it was very helpful here.
Oh, nice.
I've often wanted to call and express my high regard for educators, and this seems like a prime opportunity. As a parent and grandparent, I've often believed that our children's teachers are like second parents, given your dedication to them. And so thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Mary,
for that.
Stay on the line. I'll get your information so you can get some busted pencil swag.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Well, there you go, Johnny. So, hey, again, Tim's trivia, much more trivia based. You guys are not going to give me a hard time. Thank you.
No, that was good. That was great. That was a good one.
It's a good one. And you know what, though? Again, I put it together because I thought for sure it had to go. It goes very nice. You know, Kamala Harris doing the acceptance speech last night. As you're saying, and as I'm thinking too, I actually think it's going to be a blowout. We are going to have the first female president in this year, and it's going to be a blowout. And so,
but here's the thing, Tim, and I like this, and I know you're going to love this too. You know, Tim Walz, I think, is a metaphor for us football folks. It's dead on. And I know that sports metaphors, they fall flat with a lot of folks who might be our listeners too, but Tim, you know, he said, right? It's the fourth quarter.
Yes, he did.
We're down a field goal, but we have the ball and we've got the team to get the job done. I love that. I mean, that is exactly where this is.
Yeah.
Because the game is far from over, as we know. Until it is done, it could not go. It's not a sure shot.
No.
I mean, I know we feel that energy and we're like, how can you not? All you need, you got the ball, you got the team, you just got to get down there. But I do think this one is going to be like a tying field goal and then a big defensive stop, maybe even a pick, right? A stop, and then another play. And then it is going to come down to the election by the minutes. I wish it was a blowout, but I think it's actually a lot closer. And maybe this is my like recent election PTSD. Here knows the last few rounds we've been through a presidential election, it's been pretty, pretty much like, hey, this ought to be a no-brainer. And then, whoop. So never underestimate your opponent. Play your game. And I love what Tim Walz said. We have the team to get the job done. So let's carry out the game script and let's finish this game. But it's going to be a close one to me, Tim. I think it's going
to
be.
Jess, did you hear that quote Johnny was referring to? Do we have that one, the fourth quarter?
Let me finish with this team.
coach.
It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So Johnny, you know,
he didn't say we're up three touchdowns.
I know. I'm just
listen to coach.
Listen to coach. We're down a field goal, but only a field goal.
I don't know. I'm just feeling it. That's what I'm saying, and I'm gonna hold on to that because, as you say, that PTSD of these last elections. I am so tired of really biting my nails and being like, OMG, could this really happen again? I need some just absolute pure joy that I'm riding on. I just want to keep riding that for the next 4 months for the election.
So that's what I think it is that energy, is that the American voters are the 12th man, right? So you got 11 people on the field. They're getting the ball down there to get not that tying field goal, but get that touchdown that puts the election in the win. If we're going to stick with that metaphor, Tim, so we could be that 12th man cheering them on and doing our duty when it comes down to it, support the ticket, you know, move into, supporting the election, doing our civic duty and beyond just the theme this week of investigating, but getting out to vote and getting other people out to vote. So, wow, you know what that bell means? So many things on a Friday. So, wow. Democracy in Action. Every day here on Busted Pencils, we have a Democracy in Action Award. You know what? I'm going to put it out there too. Today's Democracy in Action, I'm going to pivot because no idea we were going to go down this football route. But it's to everyone out there who is supporting democracy. I called it the 12th man, referring to Tim Walz. You know, they have the ball. We have the ball and we're going down and we're down a field goal. Got to go down and win the game. We got the team to do it. But the team can't do it without the people supporting it. And that's what we mean by 12th man. For folks who aren't football folks, you have 11 people on the field and the 12th man is referred to in that sport as the fans, as the energy, as the support. Mm-hmm. So it's all those
something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All those 12th man people out there who are, whether it's high school football and you're gearing up for Friday night football, like Tim has talked about, is, you know, a stalwart of public education in this country. You're a college football fan, you're gearing up to, which seems to be more than just Saturdays these days, but also big aspect of education and public education in this country. You know, you're a fan of that. You're a supporter. You're also a supporter of public education. You're the 12th man. And in this election, Tim Walz, man, this is the first time I can remember a heavy sports metaphor being part of an election in my lifetime, right? Yeah. I'm sure there's been in the past, but I'm excited about it because I love sports. And I think even if you don't love sports, you get the energy, you get the excitement. We have a lot of good stuff to be cheering for. So the democracy in action, right, is that civic duty, is doing your civic duty by supporting democracy. And in this case, having a little fun spin on it, supporting us as neighbors, coming together to share joy, to protect and invest in the things that we really value, like football. It's not just about football, because it might be also, you know, theater. It may be also our farmers markets. It may be also, you know, the county fair. The things that we do might be a fireworks display that downtown puts on, and that become, those become the exciting things that we together as a community value, because they're about connection, right? And so we're cheering for those things. But hey, 12th man out there, we're doing more than cheering, right, Tim? We're talking about it. We're investigating. We're voting. We're getting our neighbors out to vote. We're having those conversations. Because I feel it. I think we could say safely, whatever or however you've identified in the past, whatever your vote's going to be this fall, Americans have reclaimed that this is a democracy, and they got something to say about who they want to lead it.
They've reclaimed it. And the other thing, man, yeah, talk about that one. The 1-2. Johnny, I'm going to take credit for this Busted Pencils, because we have said this, I don't know how many times, and it was absolutely clear and evident at the DNC. We had talked about the reality is that this Democratic Party needs to take back the word freedom from the Republicans. We have said it on this show so many times. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just putting it out there, but we've talked about this. In fact, when they were banning books, when they were doing all this, we're like, Democrats, all you got to do is step up and say, we're the true party of freedom. Man, it came across this week. It came across in a way where maybe that's where my excitement is, because I feel like the language now has been recaptured, and the freedom and the pride and the patriotism and the absolute shallowness of the other side. And I'm going to point this out. The whole fact, when you saw Walz's speech and they put the camera to his family, and his son Gus had that, you know, that's my dad, and the tears flowing down his face, that pride, and the fact that the right hit on that and tried to turn that into something, it ain't working, man, because the reality, that was love. That was love right there, truly love, and that was energy that came across. The fact that the Republican Party thought that trying to take apart a 17-year-old for being proud of his dad was going to be something they're going. This is what I mean. They have stooped down to lower and lower and lower. This is now, the Democrats are the party of freedom, inclusion, democracy. The Republicans are the party of insults, beating up on kids, making fun of. Man, I'm not, it was a horrible thing. I don't know. There's a whole lot. I don't know.
And Tim, you got to send me that stuff, because I didn't catch that and I didn't have that.
It was ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but here's the thing. This is one of the things I'll push against a little bit, Tim. I don't think you can have one party for freedom. That's not freedom. You can't own it. You can't have, it's a dangerous but powerful concept. And freedom is really important. If we want to talk about values related to freedom, like liberty, right? Liberty, then you really have to think about how are we representing and valuing those things in our community, and where and what party is speaking in that context, and what party is doing policing, and what party is doing liberating. And I don't know that, and I'm gonna say, I love the energy coming from the Democratic Party right now. But the verdict is out of whether they'll be very liberatory or not. I'm excited about this because certainly the face of the current Republican Party is absolutely to be one of control, one of limiting freedoms, and touting that as freedom. But I'm not sure yet, like that I can swing to say like the Democrats are the party of freedom.
I don't know that they are either, like you're saying, but it's the reclaiming and stepping up and contrasting what the Republicans have been doing was to really say, sorry, that's not freedom. That can't be freedom. And what the Democrats did this week was they gave examples of what real freedom could look like and what it should look like. Now, Johnny, you're right. It is up to them to see if they're going to do anything around the action. You say democracy in action, like you just did right there. Are the Democrats going to put into action all of the rhetoric around freedom? Mm-hmm. That's my question. Jess, what are you thinking?
So I was also noticing that, and something that really stood out to me was this reclamation of patriotism, of what it means to love your country, and that we saw example after example of people coming up to the stage and saying, I love my country because my country allows for people to exist in different ways to be together.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that diversity is a natural part of being alive. And it's a beautiful thing. And that is America. That was just on full display with people saying, our family might not look the same as your family. And both of our families are equally valid.
I love that.
And that's valuable.
Right? That should be a baseline. So let that be a contrast.
There it is. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. It's TGI BPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday. It was Tim's Trivia, first woman to run for president. Victoria Woodhull, 1872. Mary from Wauwatosa got that answer. You know what, though? We still got one more segment. You can call us. Best part of the DNC. Let's hear from you. Busted Pencil is Fully Leaded Education Talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. It's Friday. Yeah, lots of reflection. Man, what was your favorite moment from the DNC this week? Lots of them. Again, pointing out some great moments, some fun, too. I really thought Barack Obama's little, kind of talking about size. And for anybody who's on the Twitter, or the YouTube, or the Facebook, you know, he did some hand gestures about size and reference to, and, you know, and that's what I like, though, too, about is that there's that subtle touch of humor when Obama speaks sometimes, too. And I like that. It's genuine. It doesn't come across. He's a very gifted speaker.
Yeah, you know what, Tim, I like about Obama is even when I disagreed with his policies, I'd like the everyday ways that he's connecting his reason for why. It's always been very transparent about that, very clear. And when he speaks, he really shares that. Hey, speaking of Sherry from Horicon's on the phone. Just get Sherry on the horn. What's up, Sherry?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
As always, I love the DNC. Oh man, Alexa. I don't know what part I love the best. The roll call at the beginning, you know, that was just like simply amazing. And I'll just on and on and on. The speakers, everybody, I liked it where they had the different people up in the front, the groups, and like a light would shine to the next group and to the next group. I don't know what they called that. But like a group of family would talk or mother and daughter would talk. Anyway, I thought that was really good. And I love Michelle's Her speech was just amazing. Both of the Obamas, I just loved them all. And you know what I love best about the whole thing is the feeling that it made everybody leave with.
Yes.
I'm just walking around with a smile on my face like you wouldn't believe.
It feels good. It feels good. It does, Sherry. Thanks for the call. Oh, love it. And we love your support all the time, Sherry, too, especially starting every show. Sherry, Johnny, and Jess is always letting us know that she's there and listening. So appreciate that. But yeah, I think that, too, is that that's worth just there was a sense. There's a feeling, and maybe, yeah, the word is joy. They've been using this, but there's a sense of being for something, at least on this one, as opposed to, and even though it's an against fascism and craziness and weirdness, it's more about what we're for here, for freedom, for patriotism. And Jess, when you were talking about that with the patriotism, yeah, I've seen a couple people that I follow online, you know, who are very disenchanted Democrats and stuff, though, and very, very pointed, but saying one guy's pointing out, I think I might put an American flag back out of my front yard again for the first time in years, right?
I feel like I had a pretty characteristic distancing from patriotism, looking, you know, at my early teen years, going, oh boy, like there's a lot wrong here. I don't know if I feel right being proud to be an American. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling that. I'm going, we should get an American flag.
Yeah, Johnny.
Well, you got a lot more convincing to do to get this guy that far. I mean, and I consider myself a patriot, but I still think we're a country with a lot of recognizing some truth and reconciliation for our part in some of the conflict happening around the world. A lot of the poverty and injustice and the prison, you know, I'll call it crisis here in this country. So I don't want to detract against my excitement for Kamala and Walz. And I do truly on a regular basis make the decision to be in this country and to be patriotic about it. But to represent it to its fullest, I have optimism. Okay. I'll say I have optimism that hopefully my children's children will be in a country that they'll be proud to have a flag in. And I hope that that's where we get to. But me, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot of truth and reconciliation work. But, you know, as we're moving.
Whoa. Oh, my goodness.
You know what that means? It is a pack with our regulars. Every week here on Busted Pencils, just kind of like every day we do the Democracy in Action, every week we have a lesson, 20 lessons from the 20th century from Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny. And those lessons, wow, do they ring true? Especially, you know, Tim's talking about has the Democratic Party reinvigorated patriotism to mean more than just supporting Republicans, right? And I think we're there. I think we're getting there. Then just Tim and I are all talking about our excitement about it and how far we're willing to go to show different aspects of our patriotism. But I'll tell you what, this week's theme as we head into next week, right? Last week's was investigating. We sure all did, listening to the Democratic National Convention, talking about it, having conversations with our neighbors. But for next week, the theme I would like to connect to that, here it is. It's 15th lesson in the 20 lessons from the 20th century. Contribute to good causes.
Oh.
Be active in organizations, whether they're political or not. Of course, we're here talking about all kinds of political stuff. And I would hope, obviously, as we're talking about our excitement about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, that maybe you yourself are feeling that energy and you can be active in the Democratic Party. They're organizing and they're getting out to vote and getting neighbors out to vote, because even when that vote might not be for them, it's still activating and contributing to a good cause. But this could be anything. Political or not, express your own view of life. Pick a charity or two, set it up, you know, reach out, give a dollar, give a couple dollars, give $5. Then you will be making the free choice to support a civil society, a democratic society, and you'll help others to do good. It doesn't have to be just about the election. It's about everyday things, right? So we're saying pick a cause and contribute Even if it's not money, something to it. That's tomorrow's and next week's theme.
Pick a color. I love it. The first good thing I'm thinking, you know what? Good stuff. Contribute. Yeah. All next week, you can contribute to Busted Pencils. If you're looking for an easy way, give us a call next week. 855-752-4842. That's just for next week. Yeah, we're on our way out of here tonight already. Johnny already? And Jess, already. Man, already? It's Busted Pencils on a Friday, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see y'all on Monday.